We start the recording. There you go. It's all yours.
All right. Let's pray. Ashley's here and we can start. Yes. Okay. Why don't we stand? Let's pray. Okay. Let's just ask God to be with us here. Maybe it's a few minutes. Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being able to come together and talk about your work, your ways. Thank you for each of these young people. Asking you, Jesus, right now to write your word on our hearts. Help us, God. Help us to respect your ways, to love your ways, to be everything that you want us to be, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Have your way now in Jesus. Amen. All right. This portion is the anatomy of a service, and we're just calling it basically getting ready for this, which is what I just did. Here I am in one piece, I don't know. But I think, and just kind of try to hang with me, okay? I think there's a big disparity between how we view entering in the presence of God and how the Old Testament church viewed the presence of God in their lives. And I don't, maybe there's a disparity between how we really view going to church and how the early church viewed going to church. Certainly, it was a little bit different because most of them, many of them endured persecution. Things were a little bit different. They had to stand for what they believed. To go to church was sometimes hidden, sometimes in the open, but they were risking their lives. They were risking something continually. That type of thing will change your perspective on church and on getting together. And it could be, who knows, you know, how... Obviously, in the world, the view toward Christianity is changing in a lot of places. If you'll compare where we are right now in the United States compared to 25, 35 years ago, there's been some drastic changes as far as Christian liberties, as far as how people view Christianity. So we're in a fast pace, I guess, heading, it just seems to me, heading toward a time that's not going to be quite so comfortable as far as the world is concerned. That's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? The Lord's going to be with us to the very end. We have that confidence. And so this is not a doomsday thought. But at the same time, how did they view church as opposed to how we do? And as far as young people are concerned, we've got friends, we've got stuff that we're part of and we enjoy getting together, etc. But I don't know that they had so many programs in the early church. Mm-hmm. I doubt if they did. I know they did mission trips, but as far as fun stuff for youth, there's probably a lot of things that they would probably, if they could look at our church, they would probably think, wow, things have really changed since our day. You know, are you with me on this? And how we view this whole thing of getting together probably would change if we were in their shoes, okay? So boil all that down to this. I think in the Old Testament, certainly during Ananias and Sapphira's day, there was a real fear of God. There was a respect for God. There was a reverence. But that doesn't mean people weren't human. Okay? In the Old Testament, there were human people that made some mistakes. But at the same time, there was a fear of God brought on by certain occasions, which we'll look at briefly here tonight. But I just, part of the reason that we're presenting these classes, these three classes, is because we want to be everything we need to be when it comes to just this thing called church, having church. And part of that begins with our perspective, with how we look at it, how we view it. God forbid it would ever come to just a club, quote unquote, where we love getting together and we just have a lot of fun at our church. You come, you'd enjoy it. There's some great people at our church. We've got to keep the main thing the main thing. And so anyhow, we just want to kind of look at this concept of the before church time. Brother Joel Booker is going to give us information as far as the church service itself. And then Brother Bishop Booker is going to come and talk to you about God's part, the part that he plays. So you've got some neat things ahead. But let's look at it. Getting ready for church. First of all, to know how to prepare myself physically. And we're not just talking about washing our face. To know how to prepare myself spiritually. And to know how to prepare myself relationally. And these are, to me, these are three very important areas as far as us just getting ready for church. I don't think the first and the third carry the weight, probably, that the second does. But let's just consider these things, okay? How important is our preparation for church? What does church mean to you? What's your concept, your perception of church? Is it simply a matter of getting together with friends to sing in fellowship? Or is it supposed to be entering into the presence of God and worshiping Him? Need a spell checker on that. So, what are your thoughts when it comes to that? And I want to have a little bit of interaction here as we progress. Boil it down in one sentence, okay, Ashley? What does a church service mean to you? Start off with, it's an opportunity to. Good. Excellent. Worship God and provide a healing place for broken people. I love it. Anybody else? Maybe add to that. Anybody? When you think about coming to church, what else are you thinking about?
To better ourselves, to become more like Him.
To improve ourselves, become more like Jesus, right. That's excellent. Excellent. Anything else?
Feel ourselves good.
To fill ourselves with His presence. I love that. These are all very, very important parts of what this concept of having church is. Okay, so it's the house of God. Or at least we call it that, right? Now let me just insert something really fast here. Jesus looked at those Jews and literally ripped into them. It's the only time we find Him physically getting it on. Okay, He was grabbing tables, ripping them over. I can see Him just throwing money all over the place. And there's several reasons for what's happening. There's a cleansing at the beginning of His ministry. There's a cleansing at the end of His ministry of the temple. Okay, and he is literally angry. Okay, the Bible calls it a zeal. In the Greek and in Spanish, zeal is the same word as selfishness. Okay?
Is it like a good selfishness?
It's a good selfishness. But it can be a bad selfishness, okay?
Yeah, because I think, you know, like scriptures, don't you have a deal with God? Like,
yeah. So the concept, obviously He was not sinning, okay? He had a zeal for the house of God. He had that kind of a zeal. This is my house. And what He said really should get our attention. It's a house of prayer. And He added the of all nations. And the reason I think He added the of all nations is because where they were having all of their little business was the court of the Gentiles. And that's as far as they could go. So instead of coming in to pray, they had all of this animal noise and all of this changing of money and everything. And yeah, He was very upset because He wants everybody to be able to have access to a house of prayer. Okay? So the words that intrigue me are, is it not written, My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer of all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves and robbers. Okay. So he's looking at these people that have changed the purpose of the house of God. Okay. You have made it. So really, if you think about that statement, we have church, we have a building, we're blessed with the ability to come together. But you know what? That church is not going to be necessarily just what God makes it. It's going to be what we make it. If we want to make that a peanut brittle factory, it's going to be a peanut brittle factory. Okay? If we want to make that a house of fun and games, it's going to be a house of fun and games. If we want it to be a house of learning, a house of teaching, then we're going to have to make it that. Does that make sense, guys? The house of the Lord is going to be what we make it. And so, hence, the importance, the weightiness of this entire subject, I think it's important that we look at the house of God and we view the house of God with a healthy perspective and realize this is not just something I've been raised up in. It's not just something my parents do. This is an opportunity for us to touch God and God to touch us. This is an opportunity for us to be changed. Like you said, to grow, to repent if we need to repent. A place where others can be saved and you know, be healed, not just physically, but emotionally. So we've got to be thinking along these lines. You know what? My generation is not too far from the banana peel that's going to lead to the grave, okay? Folks are dying off younger than me. Okay, and it's going to be in your hands before too long. And I think it's important that you as young people have a healthy concept of what should our church be. And if it's not what it needs to be, then we need to carry a burden and a concern and start really praying that God helps it become everything that it needs to be, or that we focus on it as it needs to be. And I will say, I thank God for our church. And I thank God that God's given us pastors after his heart. And that it's a healthy church. And you know that. But it's going to be in your hands someday. And so your generation has got to get it for yourself, a revelation of how valuable the church is to me. And what role do I play? Okay. Pentecost, somebody said, is not a spectator sport. Okay? This is not, you don't just come and watch somebody else do it. You know what really grieves me? Is when I hear young people say, oh, that's what my church teaches. Or when they'll say something about an event that's going to take place. They'll say, when are you guys going to do, or when are, you know, it's like the church is a separate entity from them. It's like, I just come around here, but I'm not part of it. It kind of sneaks through their conversation. I hope that after this lesson today, you'll kind of step up to the plate and say, you know what? This is my church. And I do want to be everything I need to be as far as every service is concerned. Every one of us can help make an impact on a service. I've seen one person turn the spirit of the service around. One person, when the atmosphere was somewhat carnal or whatever, but one person all of a sudden get under a burden and begin to touch God, and everything changed, the atmosphere changed. One person can make a difference. I'm not saying go in and tear everything up, but I am saying each one of us do have the ability, if we'll have the right perspective of the house of God. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of learning. This is what the Jews say of the synagogue. Okay, it's a place of worship, a place of fellowship, a place of learning, and a place of worship. I like their concept. We do get together, and there is a component of fellowship that should be, and it's healthy as far as the church, as far as our youth is concerned, etc. But that's not just the focal point, the only focal point, okay? We come to learn, but we also come to connect with God. So number one, let's talk about physical preparation just briefly. Okay, let's talk about dress. I think it's really good for us if we can to dress up for church. But Brother Booker, years ago brought something out that I'd never really thought of along that line. And I think it's an excellent concept, and that's been his concept since he's been here. And that is, I like for people to dress up for church, but I also like for some people to be a little more casual, because I don't want our visitors feeling that they walked into something that they're like all of a sudden feeling super oddballish. And I like that. I think that's good. But let me just say this. We can still at least dress nice and present ourselves nicely. Okay, it's the house of God. So if you're going to dress casual, dress nice casual. Does that make sense? Okay, if you can. You know, the last thing you could do after trimming that tree and cutting it up was make it to church on time. There's extenuating circumstances. We all understand that. But I think our attitude toward the house of God and our dress should be somewhat related. Does that make sense at all? Okay. So the pros and cons, basically. If everybody is dressed in a, and I've been in churches like this, you walk in, it's like, oh my word. Every person, from the 2-year-old boys all the way to the elderly, are dressed in a suit and a tie. And then there's a visitor. I've seen this. And there's a visitor. It's like, oh man, do they ever stand out? And do they ever feel it? You know. So I think it's beautiful the way visitors can come in. Okay. Obviously, our attitude comes through more than just our clothing, as far as church is concerned, too. But these are just stuff. That's just a few things to talk about. Okay. We come dressed to serve. And the reason I put that in there, some of you are involved in singing, and some in ushering, I believe, maybe music, whatever. If you are, it's so nice to be able to, for somebody to say to you, hey, I know you're not on the list for tonight, but somebody's not showing up. Can you help us? Well, no, I'm not dressed for it. Or I'm not ready. I just threw that in to say it's just really nice if people are here that are ready, that are always thinking, just in case they need me, I'll be prepared. Okay? Okay, that's just my 2 cents for the night. Okay, we're not taking an offering on this point. We might on the next one, but not on this one. Okay, so come dressed to serve. Be ready to fill in wherever you can. Why? Because this is my church. Okay? And it's awesome for people to always be looking for an opportunity to serve. It's like the person he's just always aware. Somebody drops something, he's right there to help them. There's a baby that's dropped something or whatever. There's something out of control. He's there to help, or she's there to help. I love people like that. And I really think the church should have a lot of people like that are always thinking of how they can be a blessing, how they can help, rather than me and my little world in the rough day that I've had today. And bless God, I'm sitting down. I'm not doing nothing. I hope somebody ministers to me. And if the preacher doesn't have the right word tonight, I don't know if I'll live for God tomorrow. Okay, so you got the picture. We want to live a little higher level than that. But come ready to serve, okay? Now, let's talk about some reasoning and some logic here. And we touched on this. The Old Testament God is the New Testament God. So entering into his presence should be as important to us. Maybe it's not exactly the same. Okay, let's think about it. The high priest, if he forgot one step and walks in to spread the blood of atonement in the presence of God, behind the holiest of holies, in the holiest of holies, what's going to happen to him? If I understand the scripture right, he's probably not going to live through it. They studied, they taught, they learned, they talked about, they got, all of these commandments were down path, okay? Because they did not want to offend their God. And they knew this is scary business. Okay, Moses, just when the law is given, the Bible says, I did exceedingly fear and quake. Moses is a man that God talked to face to face. But he realizes that his God is a consuming fire. He realizes this is, I'm dealing with life and death here. In other words, there's a fear of God in him when it comes to entering into his presence. And that fear of the Lord just kind of, it did make an impact. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about it, but each one of us can make a significant impact on the success of our services, our church services, by proper preparation. Okay. So, now let's talk about the spiritual preparation specifically. Does it really matter if we prepare ourselves spiritually? Is it really that big of a deal? And here's a trend that I don't like, okay? And it's not just a soapbox tonight. It really is something I think we need to consider. And that is haphazardly treating the way that we come into our services. We have what's called pre-service prayer time. And there's a reason for that. It's not just to wait for everybody to get there. It's really to get our heart in tune with the presence of God. Does God take note of that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does that matter to God? I think it absolutely does. We're the ones, we're making the house what we want it to be. And we want that house to be a house of prayer. And so as young people, let me just encourage you. You're always going to have all kinds of examples spread out across the board. You're going to have people that you'll notice that they'll come into church and they'll find somebody different to talk to all the way through that half hour prayer. And there'll never be one prayer uttered. You'll find other people that play with babies and just play with stuff. You'll find people that are shopping on their phone, probably pretty much any given service. Doing all kinds of things. Texting, whatever. And I know sometimes there's emergencies or whatever, but I'm just talking about the norm. Just messing around during that time. Watching to see who's coming in. Okay? You with me, guys? These are good people. They're people we love, okay? But what do you want to be? And what, see, you also have examples, if you'll notice, of people sitting there weeping in the presence of God while this is going on. You'll also hear the voice of an elder pastor rocking in a rocking chair, pleading with God for the blessing of the Lord on the service, okay? There's also going to be some little ladies once in a while walking all the way around just bleeding the blood over the service, okay? What I'm saying is you're going to choose how you view the services, okay? Don't just be carried along with the tide of everything that's happening in the young people. And I know not every service is created equal. We all have responsibilities. Sometimes you're greeting. Sometimes you're very involved in other things. But when you have the opportunity, I think talking about this helps us, is going to help us to keep it in mind and think about the value of, you know what? God, we don't want to lose a service here. We've got to have you. Touch the song leader. Touch us all. Help us to respond to your presence. God, if you want to pour out your Holy Ghost tonight, do it. You know, don't let us in any way hinder. You know what's a real important prayer? Is God, search my heart. Cleanse me from... A church that knows how to repent is a church that's going to get the attention of God. And this is all it has to do with preparation for a service. Okay? It's so easy to get distracted. And young people are young people. Okay, that's just how it works, you know. Sometimes stuff strikes as funny, or you want the attention of somebody else, or they want your attention. It's just good to shut everything else out during that time before church. And sometimes I'll be praying. People come by, pat me on the back. Somebody will reach down and talk. You know, stuff happens. That's life. But after it's done, then get back to what really matters, and that's seeking the face of God. So this is not a ball and chain around us. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is recognizing the need to prepare myself for this service, okay, and us together to prepare ourselves. So I want to look at some verses of scripture that kind of that help bring this out. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Okay, so number one, you need to be careful going to the house of God. Is this the same God that we serve that he's talking about? Somebody help me. Was that a different God? Okay, a lot of people seem to think that was a different God in the Old Testament. Or that maybe God prayed through and became a better individual, you know, in the New Testament. Okay, no. This is the same God. And sometimes his long suffering is misinterpreted as his approval of things that are not right. Okay, and we want to be careful about that. Just because we don't see Ananias and Sapphira being smitten in the sanctuary and killed does not mean that God still hates deception. Right? He doesn't still hate deception. Makes sense? Okay. So he's still a God to be feared. And we want to do that. So he said, Ecclesiastes, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What's he really getting at here? Can anybody see anything between the lines here? Can you help me? What do you think keep thy foot means?
Watch yourself, sir.
Watch yourself, sir. Watch your step is literally what it means. You watch your step when you go into the house of God. Be more ready to what? Okay. This comes through again and again. We'll see that, but the need for us to have the ability to hear rather than to just pour out. Now, let me say this about preparing ourselves for worship, okay? Sometimes it's easy to just do a lot of singing because everybody's singing and the words are even up there and not even think a bit about what's up there. We're just kind of going through motions. But if we could hear the voice of the Lord while we sing or hear what he would impress on our hearts. That'll change everything about you and your worship. Okay? So he said, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Do you think the sacrifice of fools might include promises that are made to God that you're not going to fulfill? Okay? That's really what he's talking about. Making vows to God and you walk out and you forget all about it, but God doesn't. And that's why it calls it sacrifice of fools. So we really need to be careful when we enter in the house of God and not just give surface praise, okay, that really is meaningless. You know, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. We can sing it, but that doesn't mean we're going to live it. We don't want to live a crucified life. Okay, you know, it's one thing to say this stuff. It's another thing to think about it and listen, you know, and really consider what's going on here. So I guess this part is just kind of a plea. Guys, let's really think about what we're offering to God. And think about what's happening in this thing called worship and preparing ourselves, obviously, is everything. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou on the earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. There it comes again. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And then the last verse, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it. What's all that say? That says Jesus hears your worship. He hears what you're saying. He really does hear when you say, God, take all of me. Be the Lord of my life. He hears it when you're singing words like that. Okay, so we don't want to just offer a sacrifice of fools, making commitments that we know we're not going to. How can we help with this? Pre-service prayer. coming in and just getting in tune with Him in our spirit, and then it's a little different because now we're on the same wavelength, and I can feel the presence of God, and I can, and He can talk to us so much easier than if we're sitting there criticizing the singers and criticizing the musicians and looking and seeing what somebody's got wearing right now. You know, our hearts really need to be prepared in pre-service prayer. Is this okay, guys? Let me add one more. I'm sorry. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? This simply says to me, God responds to the vows that we make. Okay? And that's why He said to Israel, about Israel, this is a people that draws near me with their mouth and their heart is far from me. God, I don't want that ever be said about us. I don't want that to be said about our services. Oh, this, you know, the, everybody's worship, there's a lot of noise, the place went wild, but whose heart was really in tune with Him and who got changed? And who's living different today because of that service that broke out, you know, last Sunday? Just things for us to consider, right? And we want to treat the house of God with a high, high level of respect, and especially the moving of the presence of God. Okay, this concept of drawing near, Hebrews 10. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So everybody say, draw near.
Draw near.
We are literally doing that when we come to church. We are all getting together and we're coming in one place and we're drawing near to the presence of God. Okay, does God just live in the church? Obviously. But I'm telling you, when God's people get together, there am I in the midst is a pretty important statement, okay? It really is. And I believe He's there where two or three are gathered together. And that goes beyond just judging something like the context. I think that goes with our worship, and the presence of God is there. If you don't believe it, start lifting your hands, a couple of you together in the sanctuary, just with nobody else there, and just start thanking God for everything that you can think of that He's done for you. And you're going to find out in just a few minutes, the presence of God comes down. He's there. He wants to receive it. Okay? So we draw near to His presence. Okay, now reading this verse, let's think about these steps. First of all, we draw near. This is the preparation thing. A sincere heart. Okay? A heart without, you know what sincere is, right? Remember the old vessels that they sold back then? Earthen vessels. Low quality would have cracks in them. Okay? And they would sell them as if they were perfect because they put the wax in all the cracks and you couldn't see the cracks. And then take home, get some heat on it. All of a sudden that the cracks are there, and then maybe one of them breaks or whatever. It's like, hey, this guy sold me an earthen vessel that had cracks in it. So, sear, cera in Spanish is wax, okay? So they were known for this. I mean, there was honest and dishonest salesmen back then, too. So finally it got so bad that the government cracked down and said, okay, from now on, if you sell an earthen vessel at all, any jars, whatever, if it's made out of earth, you have to stamp sincere on it. Sincera, or sincere in Latin. Okay, that means there's no wax in this vessel hiding some kind of a crack. Okay, now y'all know what sincere means, right? Did you know that before? I wasn't getting in a response, right? So that's what the word sincere in the Greek, literally, I mean, translated from the Greek into English, literally means, okay? In other words, transparent. You are what you are. You're not putting on. No hypocrisy. When we draw near to God, don't come with hypocrisy. You're not going to impress God. Honestly, now, He knows us, right? He knows everything about us. He knows what we've done. He knows what we've thought. Why lie to God? That's suicide. He's the only one that can help you. Be honest with Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Repent. I mean, this is your golden opportunity to get things right with God. So you don't want to try to put on some kind of an air with God. Just be honest, be humble. Humble yourself, okay, which helps us here, and it'll come up again. An assured heart. A heart with assurance. We know when we ask him anything, okay, that he hears us, John said. We've got a confidence because he's our God. And we're in a right relationship with him. We're not hiding sin. We're not being a hypocrite. Okay? So we can have confidence when it comes time to prayer. I mentioned a humble heart. Okay, these four really are very important. A clean heart. All of these, some bleed over into others. But all of these are perfect examples for what we need to do when we're drawing near, when we start a service, when we're preparing for a service. These are things we ought to be praying about. God, help me to be honest before you. You know me, you know. Help me to come with assurance and confidence that you hear me right now. I realize my need of you. That's the perfect picture of humility. It's not that you feel like you're dumb and low. No, it's the fact that you realize you can do nothing without God. That's humility, okay? And then a clean heart. Okay, Luke 10. Came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or busied about much serving. She came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I love this. Jesus answered and said to Martha, Martha, you're careful or you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so Jesus puts the value on something that really needs to get our attention. Okay? Relationship is a whole lot more important than service. That is really, really important. When we go into a service, relationship is a lot more important than service. Can I say it this way? Your relationship with him is more important than your singing. It's more important than your playing the instrument. It's more important than you being an usher. It's more important than you greeting in the front of the church. Okay, your relationship with him is everything. And here's how Jesus responds to this. She chose to be at my feet. There's no way I'm letting her leave. In other words, I'm going to protect her. Somebody that really wants to be at my feet and have a relationship with me, I am going to protect them. I don't care what needs to be done. This is prime time for them. Okay? What was she doing? She was sitting and she was hearing his words. She was listening to him. Okay? And there again, that pops up. Okay? When we come, we want to watch our foot, right? Watch our step. Be more ready to hear than to just blab a bunch of sacrifice of fools. Okay? When we come in that kind of an attitude, it's like God says, okay, if you want to be in my presence that bad, I'll protect you. And it's just going to be us. Thank God for times of communion with him where we feel that happen. So, Mary's lesson, draw near to hear. A premium is placed on hearing over and over. So let me say this to you guys. Have you heard this statement before? Familiarity breeds contempt. The more we're around somebody, sometimes the less we appreciate it because we're a little too familiar with them. Okay, so sometimes that's just not a healthy thing. Okay, and if we're not careful, we have to adjust. Okay, they didn't change. They didn't change at all. What changed is our respect for them. Okay? And we really need to be careful about this thing of the house of God, church. Okay? We come every Sunday. We come Wednesdays. We want to be careful that we don't develop an attitude that says, I already know everything is going to be preached. I already know the songs we sing. I've heard them a million times. You know what I'm saying? Be careful about getting into that complaining spirit. Okay? Just don't even go there. Shake it off. Don't let that get a hold of you. I promise you, every one of us could find something about everybody to complain about. And about every service, there's something we can complain about. I have a musician's ear, okay? I've been around music since I was younger than you guys. And I'm just saying, I've eaten, breathed, lived music. Trust me, there are some times where I cringe inside. Okay? But you know what? That's a joyful noise to God. It's worship. Okay? So they can't play maybe exactly what I can do. But you know what? There's a lot of musicians that cringe if they listen to me too. Okay? None of us are perfect. We don't want to focus on what we see is wrong. Okay? What we really need to focus on is who this is all about. It's not about us. It's Jesus. It's His presence. Okay? It's us allowing Him to talk to us. Okay? We can get so sidetracked so fast. And I'm telling you, I'm just as much as human as all you guys. I promise you, there's sometimes I have to just slap myself and say, hey, don't get off track here. Don't get off track. This is about Jesus, okay? It's not about our frustrations, all right? So, anyhow, having said that, there's many more things I'm sure we could all say, but we won't. Now, consider this setting of Scripture, and I'm going to wrap this up within 5 minutes. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, 70 of the elders of Israel. Guess what? They saw the God of Israel. Whatever it was that God showed to them, they saw it of His, not necessarily a substance, because God's a spirit, no man seeing God at any time. But they saw something of His glory that forever changed and should have changed them. Okay? So who was it? Moses and who? Nadab and Abihu. Did you notice that? Those two guys were there too. They experienced that vision of God along with Moses and Aaron. Okay? Now, think about this. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer, put fire therein, put incense on, offered strange fire. They didn't take the fire from the altar like God commanded them. Now, they just did their own thing and offered that fire to God. How on earth could they do that? They were taught better. They knew better. There's only one reason. Familiarity breeds contempt. It's the same reason that people can have sin in their heart and come up to the front, lift up their hands and pray and go through a little something and still walk out with the same hatred, with the same unforgiveness, with the same sin in their life and not get it dealt with. It's because I'm not going to get struck by lightning because I've never seen anybody else struck by lightning around here. Okay? We cannot go there. We have got to have a sensitive heart to God. We got to be humble in His presence. Is this making sense at all? We cannot take lightly the presence of God in our services. I don't care if fire hasn't fallen. Okay, we need to respect Him. It's the same God as here. They put that, they offered it, and what happens? Went out a fire from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. These are the same guys that saw God like we've never seen Him with their eyes. And yet, somehow over the process of time, okay, something changed in their heart. Now, think about this. The ark was taken by the Philistines. Everybody remember that story? And so when it came back, it was killed. So they sent it back on a cart, and it goes to the house of Abinadab, right? They sanctify Eliezer. Everybody say Eliezer. Not Uzzah, his other son. Right? Eliezer was sanctified to keep the Ark of the Lord. Interesting. Okay, it came to pass. It was 20 years that the Ark is there in their house. So this boy grows up and the Ark is always in the house. Okay? He's not allowed to touch it. He's not allowed, but it's in their home and he's got bragging rights every day at school. He's got bragging rights with everybody else. Hey man, the ark is in our home and God's blessing our home, and et cetera, et cetera. Starts, you know. But here's the problem. He started feeling apparently a little too comfortable with the presence of God. Okay? I hope we could just really get this in our hearts tonight. Now that this was Numbers 4. This is the command, okay? Don't touch any holy thing lest they die. This is what people that handled the ark, okay, had to know.
Okay, you don't touch it. The ark is to be, the staves are to be put in the rings, and it's to be carried by priests. You don't touch that. That's the presence of God. Can I say it this way? You don't ever take lightly the presence of God. You know, we really need to, I'm telling you, we need a fear of God in our hearts. When God moves in our midst in the church, we need to be prepared in our spirit for that. And God, it should put our face between our knees at times. There's times where we need to really humble ourselves in the presence of God. Look what happens. They set the ark of God on a new cart. Excuse me. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. They drove it or guided it. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Accompanying the ark of God was Ahio. He's going before the ark. And David, all the house, they played all this instruments and everything. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah puts forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Okay, here's a real problem. He's walking along the side like he's gonna keep things like they ought to be. Okay. He has no problem reaching up and steadying that ark. Why did God kill him? There's a lot to this, okay? But one thing we cannot ignore. There was no apparent fear of God in him to steady the presence of God or to control the presence of God. There was no real fear of God in him. He could put his hands on, he could touch it, and it was no big deal. That ought to put shudders through us. We don't ever want to come to a place where, number one, we disdain the presence of God. We don't appreciate it. We don't fear it like we need to. Okay? When somebody starts speaking in other tongues, the Holy Ghost is coming down into that life. We need to respect that. We don't make fun of that kind of stuff. You don't ever laugh at somebody talking in tongues. Don't make fun of that kind of stuff. Okay, be careful. Don't lose your respect for the things of God. With somebody's worship, when they're in tune with God and worshiping, and it may strike you funny, be careful how you respond about that. None of us are perfect. None of us have a perfect track record. But tonight, I hope we can think about this and at least lay it to heart. God, help me to prepare my heart when I come into your presence, and help me to value your presence. I don't ever want to touch it. In a wrong way, I don't ever want to try to control the presence of God. I want to let you have your way. Whatever you want to do, okay? Familiarity breeds contempt. We have to constantly be awake and aware to that. Okay, we're closing. So, the last thing I want to deal with as we close, and just real briefly, I want you to think about this. God spoke to his people and said, the stranger that dwells with you shall be as one born among you. You'll love him as yourself. This is where we get to love your neighbor as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Don't you forget what it felt like for you to be the oddball. Here's the problem. When we have church, somebody comes in, they automatically feel like a wart on a dill pickle. They feel like everybody's staring at them. They know. They don't just feel like it. They know it. Everybody's looking at me as I walk in. And then if they have to walk all the way to the front, it's like they're dying a thousand deaths. Not all personalities can handle that real well. Some people, it's just like death. And they're sweating as they sit down on that front pew because now they're a spectacle. And they're looking around in no makeup, no jewelry. And here they're dressed in a much different way. Can you imagine how they feel? And for them to walk in and to walk out and never be greeted by anybody, nobody ever look him in the eye and say, man, it's so good to have you here. What I want to get across as far as this preparation is concerned, the third point, is how we deal relationally. And that is preparing ourselves. I am going to church tonight not for me, but God, let me influence somebody else. Let me help somebody else. Let me, even if it's just I'm telling you guys, if you would just plan on greeting one individual you don't know and just shake their hand and say, it is so good to have you here, you will make a positive impact. If you do nothing else for God that night, you totally take a load of shame off of a visitor. I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing. I've been in certain, and I've been in the church. I've visited churches where my wife and I went in, and we walked out, and not one soul said a thing to us. It was like, it's like, who are you? You're not in our clique. That you feel so awkward when you're walking out. And we're in the church. This believe the same as the baptized, just like them. And as bad as that was for us, what on earth was it like for visitors? Maybe it was a bad night for them. I hope it was. But sad to say, that church was blown apart and no longer exists as far as truth is concerned. I want you guys to really think about it. You can make a difference. Okay? So, I'm so sorry. We've gone a little bit over and I'm closing. I'm done. Physical, spiritual, relational. It's a matter of preparation for church. I hope this kind of helps us think twice maybe about every service before church, whatever. When we pray, God, help us to consider these areas and to come and prepare. Preston? Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, so our homework is to interview an older saint and ask them about the importance of pre-service prayer and self-preparation. Ask them to relay some memories to you and then log their input. So there is a homework form where you can actually enter this online. So it's just one text box where you can enter all that stuff, who you interviewed and what they said. All right? Any questions on the homework? Yes?
I think it would be good something that's been around the church for a while. You know, especially because you might hear some stories.
At least like, someone in their 40s. That's getting up there.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, so we've had people get the Holy Ghost during pre-service prayer. I mean, it just depends on how bad you want God. You know? So anyway, that, stuff like that is what would be neat to find out if they had any experiences that are, you know, in pre-service prayer or whatever. All right. Love you guys.
Thank you. And then the exam is also posted online. And next week, Brother Pastor Joel Booker will be teaching on the Anatomy of Service Part 2. So, thank you guys.
Is there a quiz?
There is a quiz.
Did you say that already?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.